Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We're just going to seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we turn to Thee afresh in our Saviour's precious name. We thank Thee for the peerless name of our wonderful Saviour tonight. We thank Thee for the one who shed His blood on the cross of Calvary that we might be redeemed. We thank that He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. We thank Thee for the mercy of God. We thank Thee for one who's full of compassion, whose mercies fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And as we come to Thee tonight, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We do rejoice in God's mercies, and we thank Thee for forgiveness of sin. We thank Thee for the message of the gospel that goes out, and we pray that Thou wouldst bless this program to the extension of Thy kingdom and to the blessing of those that are tuning in tonight. We pray, Lord, for the one that will bring Thy word. We pray that Thou wouldst bless the Reverend Stewart as he comes to preach the word this evening. We pray that he might know thy touch and that he might know thy help and that thou wouldst give him unction and power as he makes known the unsearchable riches of Christ. And, O Father, we thank thee that the entrance of God's word brings light. And we'd ask thee that it might bring light to those that are in darkness tonight. Be with us and draw us nigh to thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. We're turning to God's precious word, to the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 13 and beginning at verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and will say, It is my people. And they shall say, The Lord is my God. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing again to the reading of his precious word. We're going to sing another hymn now. It's the hymn, O Now I See the Cleansing Wave.
Yeah. I'd like to thank the Reverend Ian for leading in the worship service this far. And we're going to turn again to that portion of Scripture that was read earlier, to Zechariah chapter 13, and consider what lies before us in Holy Scripture. There's a story told about a soap manufacturer and a well-known preacher who were walking down a street in a large city. The soap manufacturer casually said, "The gospel you preach hasn't done much good, has it? Just look, there's still a lot of wickedness in the world, and still a lot of wicked people too." The preacher made no reply until they passed by a dirty child making mud pies along the side of the road. Seizing his opportunity, the preacher said, "I see that soap hasn't done much good in the world either, for there is still much dirt and many dirty people around." The soap manufacturer said, "Oh well, soap is only useful when it's applied." The preacher said, "Exactly. So it is with the gospel. There are many ways in which salvation is described and set before us in Scripture. And one of those ways is cleansing or washing from sin. That's the thrust of the verse that I want to consider for the few moments that remain. Zechariah 13 and the verse 1. Let's read it again together. It says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." Now, to the casual reader of Scripture, one who is unfamiliar with the things of God, this verse may seem obscure. What is it talking about? Well, it's an Old Testament prophecy concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, the only one in whom we can find cleansing for our sin. And I want to consider three different things that this verse sets before us under the heading, "A Cleansing Fountain." Firstly, we have in this verse a period in view. The opening words of the verse state, "in that day." This is a favorite phrase of the prophet Zechariah. 20 times in his book, or this book named after him, he uses this phrase. It always speaks of a day in the future with respect to the prophet. And here, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Zechariah looks forward to the day when the Messiah will come and accomplish all that has been foretold concerning him in the Old Testament. All the Old Testament prophets, they looked forward by faith to the day when the Savior of the world would appear. And the reason they did this is because the Redeemer was promised from the very beginning, right after Adam and Eve transgressed in the Garden of Eden. With expectation, all the prophets, they waited for the one whom God had promised in Genesis 3, verse 15, the seed of the woman, the one born of a virgin who would bruise the serpent's head, that is, defeat Satan and liberate sinners from the bondage and the condemnation of their sin. Man could not and cannot save himself, wash himself from his spiritual defilement. The prophets, they understood this. They knew all their religious ceremonies and ritual sacrifices could not cleanse away their iniquity, even though those things were appointed by God. But they were not instituted by God for the salvation of sinners or for the washing away of their sin. We're told in Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 4 that it was not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Rather, those ceremonies and sacrifices pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Lamb. It was to Him that the Old Testament saints looked by faith for their cleansing from sin, just as sinners are to do and commanded to do even to this day. Now, the precise timing of the Lord Jesus coming into the world was unknown by these prophets. They didn't know when Christ would come, but they did know that He would come. And therefore, they often spoke of that day with fond anticipation. And here, Zechariah, he speaks of that day, the day when the Savior of the world would appear, when the Son of God would be incarnated and come into humanity, come into history, and take to Himself a true humanity for the redemption of sinners. So in this verse, we have
a period in view. But secondly, there is also a provision in view. For it tells us in this verse, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened." Then to the end of this verse, "for sin and for uncleanness." Now sinners need cleansing because they are polluted with sin. In a sinner's heart, not only is there an absence of original righteousness, but there is the presence of sin and wickedness. The Bible teaches that the corruption and defilement caused by sin is total in the sinner. It pollutes every part of their being, their will, their understanding, and their affections. And you know, that's manifested by the sinner's sinful words and deeds. Now, this is something that people do not like to hear, that they are thoroughly, spiritually unclean. Most people, while they might admit that they're not squeaky clean, they do view themselves, or do not view themselves, I should say, as totally and absolutely defiled and polluted by their sin. But that is how the all-seeing eye of a holy God views sinners. The Bible declares that we are all as an unclean thing, and as such, we must have our sins washed away if we're ever to enter into the presence of God and to dwell there in heaven for all eternity. No defiled, unclean sinner will ever enter heaven. That's what we're taught in Revelation chapter 21 and the verse 27. And there we read, "And there shall in no wise enter into it." That's the city of God, that's heaven. "Anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Since sinners are totally polluted by their sin, it does not matter what they try to do to remove it. All that they seek to do is stained and contaminated with sin. Yet the good news in this verse, and we are told here of the provision of a fountain that will be opened up for the washing away of sin and uncleanness. Exactly what sinners need. They need cleansing, they need washing. And here God speaks of the provision that will be made in the day when the Messiah comes to the world. The fountain here is prophetically speaking of the provision of the cleansing that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially the purging of sin by His precious blood. When the Savior was crucified on Calvary's tree, He was pierced with a Roman spear. And we read there in the Gospels that out of His side flowed blood and water. Christ's blood is the fountain in which sins are washed away. We're told in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." We also read in Revelation chapter 1 and the verse 5, "Of Christ who loves sinners and washed them from their sins in His own blood." There's no other way in which sins can be washed away except by Jesus' blood. William Cowper, he wrote those great words in his hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains." God can wipe, wash, cleanse, remove sins from the sinner's account because the Savior's blood has been shed. The Lord Jesus, by His sinless life and atoning death, He satisfied divine justice and He turned away the wrath of God from those for whom He died. Therefore, the good news for sinners is that all who trust in Him, that is Jesus Christ alone for salvation, know what it is to have complete spiritual cleansing. And they will one day stand in heaven with a great multitude of the redeemed who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only cleansing agent for sin. Religious works and exercises, no matter how sincere the individual might be in the performance of them, none of those things can wash away sin. Scripture is clear on the matter. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. You know, we're living in days when the price of everything is going up. Petrol, electricity, groceries. Well, let me say this. The fountain of blood that flowed from my blessed Redeemer's side is free to all who will plunge beneath its sin-cleansing flow. And sinners are to come to Christ just as they are, pleading no merit of their own, forsaking their sin and trusting in Him alone for the washing away of the guilt of their sin. In this verse, there is a period in view. In that day, there is a provision in view. There shall be a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. But finally, there is a people in view. There is a particular people mentioned in this verse. It says that the fountain shall be opened. Look with me at verse 1 again. Open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, what does this mean? Well, there are different ways in which we could consider this statement. We know from the Apostle Paul's words that the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And it's true that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was first preached unto the Jews in those early New Testament days, those whom we could describe as the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. But now, praise God, the gospel has gone out into all the world. There is only one way, there has only ever been one way by which we can be spiritually cleansed from our sin. And it's the same for both the Jew and the Gentile. And that way is by repentance from sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we could look at those words, to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. But another way we can consider these words, the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, is that no matter what stratum of society one finds themselves in, there is still only one way to be saved. See, the house of David here could speak of the aristocracy, the royal household, high society, the nobles of the land, the governors of the people. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, well, they would speak of the ordinary 9-to-5 sort of person. Joe Bloggs, to use a term. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether upper class, lower class, middle class. Doesn't matter if queen upon the throne or subject in the street. This provision of a fountain for sin and for uncleanness is for all who will come. For all have sinned. There's not a person born into this world, no matter what social class they fall into, who does not need cleansing from sin. Just as it is with soap, so too must the blood of Christ be applied to your heart by the Holy Ghost through faith for its cleansing power to be experienced. You will never know what it is to have your sins washed away if you do not come to the fountain that has been opened, if you do not come to Christ and rest alone upon what He has done. What a provision Christ has made at the cross. There is a cleansing fountain. And sinners are urged to come now. Come with urgency to Jesus Christ for complete cleansing from every sin. This is a prophecy told many years before Christ came. And yet He did come and He fulfilled it. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And I trust that if you're not saved, if you're still polluted and defiled by your sin, that even you would now come to the Savior. Make no delay, for here in His Word He has shown us the way. Repent of sin, rest upon the finished work, and know what it is to have every stain of sin put away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Could we bow in a word of prayer, please, and ask the Lord to bless His Word to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee, and we rejoice in the revelation of the One who came in the fullness of time. We thank Thee for that fountain that was opened for sin and for uncleanness. Rejoice in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee that it alone can cleanse us from all our sin. And yea, we thank Thee that it keeps on cleansing. We thank Thee for the power of the blood of the Lamb. And we rejoice, O Heavenly Father, that, O God, that fountain is still opened for all who will come and plunge beneath its cleansing flow. And we pray that Thou would bless Thy word. Prosper it, O God, for the glory of Thy name, for the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for our Savior. We thank Thee for our Redeemer. We thank Thee for the good news of the gospel. We pray that You will take this message far and wide, and that sinners will know what it is to be cleansed from every sin stain. So, Lord, accept of our thanks for Thy blessing upon us. For these things we pray in the Redeemer's name and for our Savior's everlasting praise and glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.